The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live. We are so glad that you are here with us today. We're officially into week three, a big battle in the state of Florida tonight. Dan Orlovsky is there. We got Keyshawn Johnson there. Marcus Spears and Adam Schefter with us off the top. And there's so much to get to. Shefty, we begin with news out of the game tonight. DJ Chark, what's his status?
They've already ruled him out of tonight's game, Laura. That means the Jaguars will be without their top wideout. They'll have to rely on other players like Laviska Shenault, Chris Conley, and other players like that, but no DJ Chark tonight against the Miami Dolphins. As for the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't practice today. It looks like Nick Mullins is on track to start Sunday at the Giants in a stadium that the 49ers will return to. No practice for Tevin Coleman, Raheem Mostert, Dee Ford, George Kittle limited. A lot of injuries mounting up. And then, of course, we have Sammy Watkins being in concussion protocol for the Kansas City Chiefs. Didn't practice today. Real question about whether he'll be available for Monday night's big game against the Baltimore Ravens. A lot of weapons on Kansas City's offense, but they'd like to have Watkins if he were healthy.
Jeffy with us all show long, and week three is upon us. It doesn't get better than Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson on Monday Night Football. The two have been nothing short of amazing since entering the league. Last season, Mahomes led Kansas City to their first Super Bowl title since 1969, becoming the first quarterback to win a league MVP and Super Bowl MVP before turning 25. Jackson, on the other hand, set his own NFL record while winning MVP last season, becoming the first player in NFL history to throw 30 touchdowns and rush for 1,000.
He's a great player. I mean, he can make all the throws. He can run with the ball. He can really do it all. And so it's always fun to watch guys like that work hard, put in the work, and they're able to go out there and have success on the field.
It's pretty cool, you know, going against a great talent like him, guy who can throw the ball anywhere he wants on the field, make things happen each and every game. It's very exciting. It's just time to put on a show. It's prime time game.
All these new quarterbacks that are in this league, I mean, these young kids, man, I mean, well, how great is that for the National Football League? These two are two of the best. Yet here you have an opportunity to watch them compete against each other. They're good friends on top of all that. It's really fun to watch them grow.
Go back to last year and you think about 2019. They did similar things that you just talked about. 38 points was hung on Baltimore's defense. They've got to be a little more aggressive. Calais Campbell has to get to them. Deshaun Elliott, a young kid that's been there promising for them, replaces at the safety position, now comes in, and Earl Thomas is gone. Right. He's been playing a lot better in terms of getting those blitzes down like you're talking about. But then when you look at it, he threw for 3 touchdowns on them last year and 374 yards.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
He kind of torched them. So when you talk about Marlon Humphreys and Marcus Peters jamming those receivers, disrupting the timing, that's how you get at passing games and quarterbacks.
Yeah, Marcus, you always tell us that the way to get to Patrick Mahomes is to bring four, make him as uncomfortable as possible. How did the Ravens offseason maybe set us up for seeing that?
Yeah, Key mentioned him, Calais Campbell. He was brought in to do that. I think Calais is 7 feet. I know people say he's like 6'7", 6'8". He's 7 feet tall. But his ability to push the pocket in the middle. Listen, what Dan is saying, what Key is saying, no one is wrong in this instance. You have to figure out ways to try to confuse Patrick Mahomes, but also give him some exotic looks. But this is still football, fellas. This is still as simplistic as it gets. When you can rush with four and get pressure on the quarterback, you have a better chance of playing really good defense. That's not saying you're majoring in that every single time they drop back the pass, but that's why these guys are paid like they're paid when you talk about interior rushers and defensive ends. So Judon, Calais Campbell, all of these guys, Pernell McPhee, all of these guys are going to have to really put their best foot forward. And then, too, it's like basketball. You have to be on the same page. If I'm going to go high, you make sure you stay low in your rush to not give a window for him to duck underneath and get outside. Patrick Mahomes has shown he can use his legs to create plays as well. So you have to be conscious. But the teams that we've seen them give the most problems is the L.A. Chargers last week and the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. And they did most of that with a four-man rush.
I mean, that's a good point. The only kind of concern I get off of that is, do you want to change your identity to do that, right? Like, Baltimore with Wink Martindale has always been, we're going to come after you. And they're also one of the few defenses in the NFL that go, we got a guy that we could put on Sammy Watkins. We got a guy that we could put on Tyreek Hill. Now, Deshaun Elliott might be the guy that they put on Travis Kelce. That might be the safety that him or Chuck Clark, like, we feel really good about putting him on Travis Kelce. So Marcus is right. If you feel comfortable going after him and getting forward, and you can keep Patrick in the pocket. I can't even contain myself talking about him. I'm so excited for Monday's game. But, like, if you could keep him in the pocket, that's the best way to do it. But Baltimore's got to be comfortable kind of breaking away from their identity to do that.
There was no Tyreek Hill in the game last year. Remember that?
He didn't play. That's a good point. The shoulder.
So it's a little bit different for him now.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Dan can't contain himself. He's actually been standing up whenever he's been off camera. Gardner Minshew not lacking in any type of confidence. Adam Schefter, what are the coaches saying about him?
Well, when you speak to people around the league about Gardner Minshew, the one thing they say is that he's very confident. In fact, one evaluator this week said to me that Gardner Minshew thinks he's really good. And I said in response to that, he is very good. And the evaluator said, right, but he thinks he's really good. And I think that has helped elevate his level of performance. And he's played like a very good quarterback. Don't get me wrong. But again, he carries himself with a swagger and a moxie that has helped him and helped that team to where they believe they can win anytime.
Yeah, we got a lot of people on this show that think they're really good, too, so we can relate to that. All right, Gardner Minshew continues to try and prove some doubters wrong through two games this season. He ranks in the top 10 touchdown passes, completion percentage, and passer rating. In fact, only Russell Wilson has thrown more touchdown passes than Minshew this season. The Minshew mustache on full display tonight as the Jaguars looking to improve to 2-1 on the year. So, Dan, when you watch Minshew play, you think he's really good, too. You see flashes of a former great quarterback. Who is it?
He reminds me of Tony Romo. First of all, the way he gets the ball out of his hands, like, really smart pre-snap. Tony was notorious for that. Like, seeing the coverage, pre-snap, all right, go, ball go out. This is perfect representation of that. Ball out quickly, perfect ball placement. To Witten, ball out quickly, perfect ball placement. A little bit of touch on a throw to the sideline. Just these natural throwers placing the ball exactly where they need to be. And then just the ability to create. You know, this Minshew magic where they run around and they kind of make magic out of some stuff. That was Tony Romo was notorious for as well. And so I promise you, Tony Romo, before he became the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, thought he was great too. And Gardner Minshew, every time he steps on the field, reminds me of Tony Romo. And he's going to give the Jaguars a chance to win every single week.
He is a guy certainly can play in this league. There's no question about it. When they got him out of Washington State, they made that decision that he was going to originally back up Nick Foles. But then guess what? Nick Foles is no longer. He's in Chicago because they said to themselves, we got one. And every now and then, they find one in the National Football League that people don't ever think about. They think, oh, well, he'll be a pedestrian quarterback for the rest of his career. This guy eventually will be a star at some point, I believe.
Love the comparison to Tony Romo, D.O., because, we saw it in practice. We understood that he had that type of talent, but you always wait and you hold your word until you see him do it in the game. And then once he does it well, Bill Parcells the next week says something like, don't eat the cheese. Meaning, don't grant him the greatest thing ever after one good game. But Garner now has, and I gotta admit, he's been sneaky balling to me. Like, you just look up on Sunday when we watching all of these other superstar quarterbacks in games, and it's like Garner Minshew got Jacksonville in the game against Hugh. And Gardner Minshew did what? Gardner Minshew threw another touchdown? Who are the receivers for Jacksonville? Didn't they get rid of all of the talent? How are they even playing like this? And then you start crossing your eyes like, yo, this quarterback might be responsible for Jacksonville not tanking for Trevor, basically. So, look, I have a lot of respect for these type of guys, man, because I saw one ascend to being one of the great ones. And I think they have something in Jacksonville, to Key's point. I love what Gardner Minshew is doing.
Yeah, you mentioned tanking. Minshew has been on the record even this year saying, yeah, we don't know anything about tanking because we're trying to keep our jobs here. And if you ask me, you always eat the cheese, Marcus, but I'm talking about myself there. Let's switch to the other team in this matchup tonight, and that would be the Miami Dolphins. And they're in a situation, Shefty, where, you know, when are we going to see Tua Tagovailoa? A lot of people wondering that. What do you know about the timeline for Tua?
Well, it seems like the more the losses pile up and the more the interceptions from Ryan Fitzpatrick pile up, the more there will be calls for Tua Tagovailoa. But there's no obvious or real pressing need right now to go to him. The Dolphins don't feel any sense of urgency, especially with their offensive line. They're not in any rush to do that at this point in time. And so it's one of these things where I think we'll hear more and more conversation about it, especially after Ryan Fitzpatrick loses some games, throws some picks. But right now, they want to stick with Fitzpatrick.
Marcus, what do you think? When should Tua start playing for the Dolphins?
Well, y'all know me. He should have been playing from the beginning. And look, it was smart to put Ryan Fitzpatrick in, but I don't think you wait long for Tua. I'm going to be honest. You get him some reps, even if it's not starting him for a full game. He needs to start seeing some of this action. He's deemed healthy. Put him in there, see if he can make some plays, and then you determine how you want to move forward with him.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right, Marcus. I would say about the fifth game of the year, they're supposed to play, they're going to play the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco's banged up, so they won't be, in my opinion, that good. You put him in so you can get those reps, see what he is. You don't wait to the end of the year for three or four games, and then you look up. What are you shaking your head at, Dan?
Like,
what do you know about quarterbacking?
Y'all are so wrong on this.
What are you? How?
Can we get the kid a year removed from injury? Can we let him get a year removed from injury?
Well, I think it has been a year.
November. November will be a year from the injury. Second of October.
October.
Get your dates
October.
Right.
We're getting close.
We're not even a year from the injury. Second of all, they got the worst offensive line in football. They start two rookies at tackle. You guys want to put two out there when this team's not going to the playoffs? They're not a division champion, and we just want to rush him out there to get him reps?
Dan, don't you think that touched. The more that the time lapses, so the longer careful. The layoff is, doesn't that affect Tua?
No.
Don't you want to, like, get him in action?
I need to see what I got.
I do not want to subject him to the worst offensive line in football in two rookie tackles. That is, if I'm the quarterback coach, I am laying on the table saying there's no shot I'm letting that happen.
No, you just don't want to play then.
No, it has nothing to do with the player.
Hey, listen. Let's put him in a rose garden and let's put pillars around him. Let's crown him with everything that's protective. You know what? Let's do him like they did the kid on the Little Giants and wrap him in saran wrap and bubble wrap. The man is healthy. He said he's healthy. They have said he's healthy.
He's ready to
what
go, man.
What are ruin we waiting
You'll
for?
You'll ruin him.
The key is the doctors have said he's healthy. Okay.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All eyes on Kentucky and Breonna Taylor's case yesterday. A grand jury in Louisville did not move forward with charges against any officers for their role in Breonna Taylor's death. NFL players took to social media following the Breonna Taylor grand jury decision. Seahawks safety Jamal Adams wrote, "Black Queens Matter." And Washington first-round pick Chase Young wrote, "No justice, no peace." Here's more from players around the league reacting today.
it's really disappointing because, you know, justice should be served for her death, Breonna Taylor, and just this movement in general, with this Black Lives Matter and understanding the neglect of not only Black people, but colored people in general, and the, you know, injustices and the police brutality and the systematic racism and everything of that nature. It's bigger than just sports or politics or the color of your skin. It's about how you treat people.
We got other things in the world that get justice that don't really need justice, but people want to push that issue a lot more than our Black lives that's mattering, Breonna Taylor being one of them, you know? So it's crazy. Like, we never get justice for serious things on our side of the park, you know? We're in America where it should be freedom of speech, you know, the land of the free, but I don't really feel like it's been that way for us Black people sometimes.
It's just getting tougher. It's disheartening. It's all of those things when you just want justice and it doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
I think there was a lot of hope that they were going to do the right thing, but at the end of the day, given how everything's happened historically, I can't say that I'm too surprised. It's unfortunate. You know, I feel, you know, obviously a lot of anger, but you know, we have to try to figure out different ways to get what we want. We can't put it in anybody else's hands to make the right decision because historically they've shown they will not do that.
If it was my sister or my mom or my dad, or if I have kids one day, any of my kids, I'll be frank, I'll be pissed off, very pissed off, and that should be handled and taken care of in a timely order and fashion, not when it's, you know, good for somebody else.
As you hear the reactions from NFL stars around the league, Marcus, for you, this is about actionable items moving forward. Can you explain that?
No doubt. I mean, look, this is a process. I'm exhausted. Like, and I can talk to you all right now, and I can talk to America about my emotions, what I felt. But the reality is, this was the expectation that I had for as long as I can remember about the results of what would come out about Breonna Taylor. Look, man, you got to vote, period. You got to vote for your local. You got to vote for state. You got to vote for federal. You have to be a part of this process before it's time to go to the polls. This is a call to people for right. Like, the bottom line is this. You're asking for accountability when something is done wrong to someone. It doesn't matter if it's a police officer. It doesn't matter if it's somebody else. There should be no delineation between something being done wrong to somebody and the person that committed that act being held accountable. That's simple. But it goes beyond that for me. We've marched. We've protested. Now, mind you, this has been going on for a long time in this country. Laws being changed. Voting, understanding who you're voting for and what their values are. It's time to like dive deeper. You know how everybody get together on a fantasy draft night and everybody get together when it's football time and we go in depth to all of the players we love and we support and we cheer. I need everybody to have that same energy when it's time to vote for people and putting people in positions that are going to do the right things, that are going to be held accountable and going to hold people accountable for doing their jobs, period. That's all I got to say about it, because anything further, it turns into anger and it turns into something that I don't want to get into because I've been through these ebbs and flows with all of this stuff that we've been talking about.
It is.
Be a part of the process, learn it.
It is very frustrating, there's no question about it. You know, every day you feel like you got this large building on your shoulders and you keep holding out hope that something is going to change. But like they said, what did you expect? Even though it was you just felt like, okay, this could be different. It could be. But at the same time, we never arrived to that point. So it's not a surprise at all. It's just not a surprise, not one bit. But what I would say, though, is much like Marcus said, it starts with voting. You gotta understand who you're putting in these offices from the local level to the federal level. Not only that, we need people like y'all, like you, Laura, like you, Dan, your friends, to be able to talk to them and tell them to get them to understand the importance. I've lost a lot of friends that were close to me over the last 4 months because of my views versus their views. And I said, you know what? I can't roll with that. Because their mindsets are so different than what the reality of it is. I'm serious, like really lost friends that I was friends with for the last 15 or so years because their mindsets some of these guys that are in these leagues that are just sitting around, not saying nothing, don't want to take a stand, don't want to, owners in these teams don't want to say anything. It's very difficult to sit here, much like Marcus said. They want to cheer us on. They want to hug us. Oh, pictures on the mantle. Oh, he's our friend. Oh, yeah, wear the jersey. But then at the end of the day, when you take it off, now what? We're wrong, but they're right? Makes no sense.
As a white guy sitting here, like, it's hard for me to ignore this. Right? It's just hard for me to ignore. I don't even know Key that well, right? But it's hard for me to ignore, like, Key's. I feel his anger in this conversation. Marcus is my family. Like, Marcus, I look at Marcus like family, and it's hard for me to ignore hearing Marcus's just exhaustion, his frustration. And I can't understand it, but I got to be willing to allow it to affect me the same way. You know, like, I feel like people like me who look like me got to be willing to allow it to affect me or try to affect me the same way. And I just can't ignore feeling your pain. I can't ignore feeling Marcus's just exhaustion.
Yeah, it's at the end of the day about human rights, basic human rights here that everyone should be able to have equally. And we are thankful that we're given this platform to share our thoughts, whatever they may be, about the most important things in our country and in the world. We're also here to talk football. So we're going to make what is a tough turn and get back to that. And guys, I appreciate you all for sharing what you just did. The Cowboys and the Seahawks are facing off this weekend. It's going to be a good one. They're looking, the Cowboys are, for the second half Dak Prescott from week two. In Dallas's comeback win over the Falcons, Prescott threw for 312 yards, rushed for three touchdowns. He threw another, and he joined Patrick Mahomes as the only other player to record 300-plus passing yards and four touchdowns in a half over the last five seasons. So, Key, there were times over this week where people have been saying, yeah, you know, Dak Prescott should take that game tape right to Jerry Jones, put it on his desk, and say, pay me because of that. What do you need to see out of Dak in this game?
I need to see the same thing that I saw in the second half. You just ran off those statistics. Give me that. If I can get that out of him and you're going to a tough place with Russell Wilson and that offense now and a firepower, you do that. And you go up in Seattle and you take care of business, getting the ball to CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott running and Gallup, I have no problem jumping on the table and saying, man, y'all better figure out how to get that damn deal done at the end of the season, because he's on his way somewhere and so are the Cowboys. You can see he's making big strides. That was huge. You didn't see that with Dak Prescott in the beginning, where he was coming from behind, putting it all on his shoulders, as they would say. He was calm, he was cool, he was collective. Let's get it done in Seattle. No problem, man. Write your own check.
But wait a second. But what if you see a different version of Dak against Seattle?
Then we got to slow it down. We got to reevaluate the situation.
Yeah, that's the
again.
NFL, man.
That's the reality of it, Laura. We got to just slow it down.
I like your breaks there, Keith. Marcus, what do you think?
This makes me sick to my stomach, because, look, Seattle is my Super Bowl pick. So y'all obviously know which way I'm going. But here's the bottom line. I think he makes a great point. Dak needs to continue to play well and give his team a chance to win like he did in the second half of the Falcons game. But also, when you look at this matchup and you think about what it can do, how can that second half from Dallas carry over into the Seattle game and be a part of who this team is and identity-wise? And all of myself, Dan, Keyshawn, we know when we have signature wins. We know when it changes kind of the temperature in our locker room, things we can hang our hats on. So I look very forward to Dallas playing really good, even in a losing effort, because I think Seattle is just built better and doing better things. But they can look good and still lose this game, and I'll be okay, guys. Don't need to check on me. I'll be okay as long as they look good.
Marcus, we love you, so we'll still check on you either way. Dan, they're saying that Dak needs to step up. Who needs to step up in your mind if Dallas is going to get that win?
I think CeeDee Lamb needs to have 12 for a buck 50. You know, this is going to be a shootout. Both offenses are going to score enough points. But if you look at Seattle, they got two really good corners in Griffin and Dunbar. So I look at CeeDee Lamb just owning the middle of the field. Seattle has struggled to cover the slot receivers. They've given up a ton of completions. down the middle of the field. CeeDee Lamb has started to show himself in this offense. He needs to be the guy. It's not Gallup. He's got to play his part. It's not Amari. He's got to play his part. If CeeDee Lamb has 12 for 150, Dallas can pull this game off. But if he has 8 for 70, they won't win this football game. He needs to be the best player on the field Sunday.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because on the other side, you mentioned this being really back and forth. You got to try and slow down Russell Wilson. No quarterback has more touchdown passes this season than Wilson with 9, 5 of which came under pressure. How about some games that maybe aren't getting enough love in a great Week 3 slate? We begin with Marcus. What are you looking out for?
I'm looking to see if Josh Allen is going to continue to carry over what he's been doing in these first 2 weeks. He's playing phenomenal. Dan put him on the radar. He is firmly supplanted on the Dan wagon right now.
Yes.
I want to see if he can carry this over against a really good defense. Aaron Donald is there. Jalen Ramsey is there. And the Rams offense as well is going to put pressure on him having to put points on the board.
And I'm following you up, Marcus, with the Atlanta Falcons. That collapsed last week against the Dallas Cowboys in the second half. Can that defense step up against Mitchell Trubisky of the Chicago Bears? If they allow him to go out there and torch them, boy, Dan Quinn's seat is going to be flaming.
I'm taking Big Ben. I want to see Big Ben come out of this game and just start in rhythm, getting the ball out of his hands. Deontay Johnson is an absolute playmaker. Down in the red zone, throw that ball up high for a touchdown to Claypool. Don't worry about the check down. Realize that you got a really good weapon in Eric Ebron to work the middle field. And then your young rookie wide receiver outside, Chase Claypool, continue to give him opportunities, but settle in early on in this football game.
Yeah, no one is ignoring this other game, the Saints against the Packers. And our Rob Domofsky with a great headline here. Come for Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, stay for the running backs there. Let me explain a little bit more about this matchup. It's a running back showcase featuring Aaron Jones and Alvin Kamara. The two are among the best players at their position, off to hot starts this season. They both have four scrimmage touchdowns, tied for the most in the league, and no player has more scrimmage yards than Jones this season with 312. I feel like not enough people are talking about Aaron Jones for sure, but Key, which of these two star running backs, Kamara or Jones, are more important to their team's success?
I think it's Kamara. I think when you look at Drew Brees, he's always had a running back for the success of that team, whether it was a Deuce McAllister, or Reggie Bush, or Ingram, and now Kamara. So when you look at the other side and you look at Aaron Rodgers, I'll just give you a list. Eddie Lacy, Ryan Grant, James Starks, Jamal Williams, Ty Montgomery. Mm. I mean, and he has been able to still deal with no problems whatsoever. Now, all of a sudden, he has Aaron Jones, which makes him even more lethal. But I think it's Drew Brees for sure.
Mm. Who's more important to the game?
Who's more important to their individual team?
I'd say Aaron Jones. Yeah. I think Aaron Jones is firmly supplanted into the best dual threat back in football right now. Him or maybe McCaffrey are 1-2. The reason why is because he's versatile in everything you want. You want to run between the tackles, he can do that. He's got first step quickness, that is great. And then he's got home run speed. He can be physical as a runner. And then in the pass game, he's outstanding. Sometimes it's in the screen game. Sometimes the ball's out of Aaron's hand. Sometimes they throw it to him on a corner. So I look at Aaron Jones as being probably, I said this the other day, he's the most underrated player in football right now. Underappreciated football and player right now. So I'd say Aaron Jones.
Yeah, he Lambo leaps with the best of him too. Marcus, let's take this one step further. Who is the most important player on that field this week? So on either side.
Drew Brees. Listen, we've watched Drew Brees have a very mediocre 2 weeks compared to what we expect from Drew Brees. He talked about needing to get in sync with his wide receivers. He could possibly have Michael Thomas back, which would give him a huge boost. But Drew Brees knows he's going to have to be great. Is he paying attention to what Aaron Rodgers is doing? Mm. I know the hell he better be, because Aaron Rodgers going to run you out the gym right now if you ain't on your game as a quarterback. Drew Brees has to play better. And look, we all know he's a Hall of Famer. We know the records that he has. The Saints have Super Bowl expectations. Guess who else has Super Bowl expectations? The Green Bay Packers. Guess what conference they in? The NFC. So go ahead, Drew Brees, and get your stuff going so you can test yourself against somebody that you could possibly see down the road. Mm. Drew Brees needs the ball. He's the most important player of this game.
You know what's so funny though, Marcus? I think everybody's looking at that game against the Raiders and they're trying to figure out what Drew Brees was. No one was saying that against the Tampa Bay Bucks. And you watch a lot of film, Dan. If you go back and you look at that game against the Raiders, the receivers were stopping on routes at times. You
say think it louder.
They were I don't know if you said that or not.
No, you're right.
They were stopping on routes, okay? Yeah. He's trying to throw a sail route to the sideline. The tight end
100%.
Screws him over. 100%. Then all of a sudden, Emmanuel Sanders, instead of standing up and showing chest, Drew throws where he thinks he's going, mm-hmm. he stops. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you got to sort of look at it from that perspective. I know he threw the interception, which was ill-advised.
Sure.
But that happens. But for the most part, Drew's playing like Drew to me.
Well, I love that point. So much of it is without Michael Thomas, who is a security blanket for any quarterback. Well,
that's why that matters. That's why Key's point matters, because we didn't see those misses with Michael Thomas.
Right.
Catch radius, baby.
And we saw those misses with the receivers that are the secondary options, the third and fourth options. And those take time for not only Drew to see it the same way they do, but those guys see it the same way as Drew does as well.
Plus, those reps in training camp, which is not a real training camp this year, are different. Yeah. Michael Thomas was running those routes. Right. You giving those other guys those routes, it's not the same.
Yeah, Michael Thomas.
Man, you stop breathing. You ain't playing no offense. You don't know nothing about playing receiver. I don't care about LSU at no time.
Hey, listen, he was a tight end.
I don't care about that. That was like 17,000 years ago.
Oh, stop.
I'm just wondering when we started, like, being so soft on this show. Drew
Since
Brees,
you joined.
Ain't nothing wrong with him. And we need to take care of Tua Tagovailoa because he might get hit with his young tackles. Man, chill. Y'all know Drew Brees ain't playing to the level we used to seeing Drew Brees play.
You didn't say
y'all
nothing about Drew when he beat Tampa
valid,
Bay, Marcus.
Drew Brees,
you know that's not,
boy. He did throw a pick in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Going to be interesting to see what the Raiders do against the Patriots. Of course, the Raiders coming off a big-time performance in Monday Night Football, but they're going to have to take on Cam Newton, who has been dominant so far for the Pats. 1-1 record, still a lot to think about if you're John Gruden on the other side. Here he is talking about Cam.
I haven't seen many guys walk through my doors that look like Cam. I call him Slam Newton. That was the nickname I gave him. He is a power forward playing quarterback. He's oversized for the position, but he's gifted so much athletically. It's incredible what he's accomplished, and his durability is really impressive.
Marcus, I don't know if John Gruden's aware that Cam Newton has another nickname.
Yep, and it's Damn Newton. Because, look, here's the bottom line. I remember the first time playing against Cam Newton. The first thing we said when we saw him was, damn, that's a quarterback? And then when you playing against him and he run past your secondary at 260, you like, damn, he fast. And then you like go to the sideline and you tell coach, give us something. Because Cam is Damn Newton. So it's never changing. That's the first thing I said when I saw the dude was, damn, that's a quarterback? Literally, Laura, you've seen him, Dan and Keisha, you've seen him. Cam looks like a defensive end. That's what you say,
crazy.
Damn, when you see him.
Well,
right, every time I see him, that's what I say.
All right, so you're not going with Slam. But anyway, Gruden tried with his nickname, Key Cam, Slam, Damn, whatever you want to call him, has played just 2 games with Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels. But is he back in MVP form?
I think he is. When you look at Josh McDaniels, he has a real offensive coordinator for the second time in his career. The first one was Norv Turner. Now it's Josh McDaniels. And the interesting thing about it is guys like Josh McDaniels can go and look at things in Carolina or even in college for that matter that Cam did well and insert that into the lineup for the New England Patriots. That is what makes a great offensive coach and a great offensive coordinator. A lot of times these coaches want to fit you into their system, right, Dan? Opposed to what it is that that player does well. Okay, I remember going down to Tampa in my first year, Les Steckel was the offensive coordinator. Yeah. He refused to change. He wanted to fit me into the Tennessee Titans system that he brought to Tampa. They just gave me $65 million damn dollars. I walked in there and said, man, come on, man. You missing the point. He was gone 9 months later. Uh-oh. All right, Christensen came in and made sure that they got me the football because he did the things that I did well. He made sure within the system, he said he runs great dig routes, he runs comeback slants. Let's insert that into our system. 106 catches, Pro Bowl playoffs. That's all that matters right there.
Let's go.
That's all that matters.
Shefty, a little flex there by Key.
Oh, Shefty better be quiet. I got something for him.
$65 million? Key, way overpaid. Way overpaid for that Buccaneers offense.
Oh, Lord. All right, listen, we're leaving it there. Shefty, some key Raiders are banged up on the other side of this game. What's the latest on Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller?
Have some injuries heading into Foxborough on Sunday, Laura. No practice today for either player. They were not spotted there. Josh Jacobs is dealing with a hip injury right now. Darren Waller is dealing with a knee injury right now. We'll see whether the Raiders have the services of either player. But if they do, clearly, it doesn't seem as if they'll be at full strength for a big matchup against Bill Belichick and the Patriots.
Yeah, Dan, what are you expecting from him if Waller does, in fact, end up being healthy?
A heavy dose of Waller, because the Patriots have to answer, like, how are they going to match up? It's almost a dose of their own medicine from years ago with Gronk, right? Like, how do you match up with a big, physical, athletic, route-running tight end? There's just not a lot of people that kind of you feel comfortable. Maybe it's Duggar, their rookie, second-round pick at safety, but this is what the Raiders have done is they've kind of built this offense a little bit around Waller. Waller's that big, physical matchup tight end, and then you've got Hunter Renfrow, great on third down. Who are you going to put on Renfrow on third down? Ruggs. Who do you feel comfortable running with? Ruggs? Josh Jacobs is a two-way back. So the Raiders have built this offense to be very situationally matchup a problem. You know what I'm saying? Like in specific situational footballs, they got really good people. So this will be a big-time challenge for the Patriot defense.
Well, the defensive mind that Belichick has, Waller ain't going to beat him. Like, that's his M.O. He's not going to allow your best player to take over a game and beat him. And that's just the reality. So, like we saw the Saints later in that game start to double-team him and start to pay more attention, and obviously, Dan, they have other weapons. Josh Jacobs, obviously, in the run game. I would tell Stephon, listen, you got Ruggs. Take him away because he is that type of corner. I know the speed is a thing, but Stephon Gilmore will figure out a way to eliminate Henry Ruggs, especially being a rookie this year. Waller is not going to beat Bill Belichick. If he does, I'll be shocked, and it'll be one of the first times that I've seen Bill Belichick allow somebody with that type of film the previous week to carry that type of film over into a game against him defensively.
Yeah, Key, to Marcus's point, Bill Belichick always is able to at least take somebody out of the mix. He can key in on that guy. If you're going to pick between Waller or Josh Jacobs or the guy that you need to eliminate, who is it?
I think it's Waller. I think because you could stack the line of scrimmage and eliminate the run game, but if you get that tied in, the safety valve for Carve out of the way, then that's you win there. You win that battle.
The key for Belichick, too, could be Cam Newton. He scored two rushing touchdowns in each of New England's first two games this season. If he gets two more scores in the ground this weekend, he becomes the first quarterback in the Super Bowl era to record three straight games with
multiple
nugget. Rushing touchdown.
He's pretty good, man.
He's pretty good. Okay, one more thing before we go, and Shefty's going to start us off there.
Laura, former All-Pro nose tackle Damon Snacks Harrison, who openly said that he was contemplating retirement, has decided to return to play this season. He's scheduled to visit the Seattle Seahawks next week. They could use some defensive line help. Maybe Snacks will catch on in the Pacific Northwest.
All right, and mine, Baker Mayfield. Do it again. Listen, I've heard the talk about Stefanski and the tremendous job he did calling plays, getting you in your comfort zone. Now it's time to carry that consistency over. Looking forward to see if you can continue to grow, babe.
Look at the Rams. If the Rams can take care of business up in Buffalo 2-0 against 2-0, then they are going to be for real and be real contenders. I look at this situation. Robert Woods going back to Buffalo for the first time. That was the team that drafted him. I know he has a chip on his shoulder. Watch out, Buffalo.
America, get ready tonight to be reintroduced to Percy Harvin, to be reintroduced to a big, thicker Alvin Kamara with Laviska Shenault. This guy is a powerful, explosive player for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They'll throw it to him. They'll hand it to him. He'll be a part of their return game. He is someone to enjoy watching tonight on national TV.
Yeah, Key got all confused there. He thought Percy Harvin was back in the game.
No, he was talking about coming back a couple weeks ago when he said Percy Harvin. I was like, huh?
Like, what? I missed something.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled B-A-B-B-E-L.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.